Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Booth 61. Featuring movers and shakers on the Atlanta tech scene, organizations serving the tech market, and the inspired people who lead them. Now here's your host, Ricky Steele.
Welcome and thank you for visiting Booth 61. I am Ricky Steele, and I passionately serve as the Chief Development Officer for Hunter Technical Resources, Atlanta's premier IT staffing firm. We have a very exciting show for you today, and we're going to jump right in. But first, I want to take a half a minute to introduce our producer and my good friend, Mr. Kevin Finn. Kevin is a master at the control board and actually hosts a number of shows on Business Radio X. Kevin, I missed you last Wednesday.
I missed you too, Ricky. It was I was in here by myself just working, and it just was very lonely. I missed your voice.
But you played the great David Cummings show, and who else we have on that show? Kyle Porter and Johnson Cook.
Yep, all the people that helped him out with Atlanta Tech Village.
That was a good. Well, I was in Austin, Texas at Dell headquarters learning what's going on with Michael Dell and his world and just having a big time.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
It was. At any point you want to jump in and add something to the conversation, I hope you will.
Will do. All right, Ricky.
Thanks very much. Well, we're very excited about today's show. I'm excited about today's show on multiple levels. As most of you know, our goal in Booth 61 is to build community. I want to allow the rising tide to lift all boats. Today, my guest is Dr. Eloisa Klementich. She is Director of Invest Atlanta. Invest Atlanta is the economic development arm of the city of Atlanta. And as many of you know, I'm a native born Atlantan 61 years ago, downtown at Crawford Long Hospital. I love Atlanta, Georgia, and I'll fight you if you don't share my opinion. We'll be at the studio out back afterwards. If you're interested in the history of Atlanta, there's an excellent book that I shared earlier with Eloisa and that she was already familiar with called Where Peachtree Meets Sweet Auburn, written by Gary Pomerantz, formerly of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Great stories about Mayor Ivan Allen, Sam Massell, Maynard Jackson, and such a great litany of leaders we've had in our community, including later Andy Young, Shirley Franklin, now the great Kasim Reed, who we all are very, very proud of the great job he's doing. Visionary leaders, and I think Atlanta's a product of these historic folks. I don't care whether you live in Dunwoody, Peachtree Center, Marietta, Stone Mountain, or Douglasville. You need to know about the engine that runs the city of Atlanta, Georgia. And we've got great leaders, and we've got one here with us today. We got a great city and a futuristic mayor. And Invest Atlanta is the economic engine that's helping to spur a lot of this growth. Today's guest, as I mentioned, is Dr. Eloisa Klementich. With only three masters and a Ph.D., I wonder when she plans on buckling down and abling herself with a more formal education. I can easily say that Dr. Klementich is by far the most credentialed person we have ever had on this show, and that's a great honor for me and for the show. Welcome to the booth, Dr. Klementich.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. I have had a chance to read your bio and history, and rather than me give a litany of information, I'd rather you share with the audience, who is Dr. Eloisa Klementich, and how did you get to Atlanta, Georgia?
Well, thank you. I started out from two wonderful parents, immigrant from Yugoslavia and my mother, who is Mexican, and they met in California. And they, so I have to thank a call out to them. Was born and raised in California, did my undergraduate degree also in California at the Claremont Colleges, then followed out in my degree. One of them was political science, international affairs. So decided, okay, well, then I need to get some international experience. So I had two options, hence had family living in Yugoslavia at the time, which there was a civil war. So probably not the best place to have gone. So my other option was Mexico, and then went to Mexico City for an international experience, got a job, was able also to study. You know, oftentimes my mother jokes, she says, I know you went to Mexico City to understand the culture and interact and have this international experience, but you didn't need to go get married. So hence got married there as well, and then came back to California where I was able to get my master's at UCLA and then my doctorate at University of Laverne. Then from there, I had the opportunity to grow up in several atmospheres, I think, that really has laid the work to some of my interests, and that is worked with the city of Los Angeles, worked in their international affairs department, worked also with the mayor's office, then worked for a state assembly member, and then followed up with working under the Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger administration in California, which really focused on business, transportation, and housing issues, but again, working a lot there within the entrepreneur community. Then had the opportunity to go work for the United States Department of Commerce, exactly Economic Development Administration, the EDA, which had, again, the opportunity to work on entrepreneurship, but what was interesting also had to look at the national scene. So not only experience city, state, but also the national scene. And then here had the great opportunity to come to Atlanta to continue the work on what is economic development for us, which would really look at how do you strengthen a community. So it's been a really great experience. It's been an honor to be here. Have had an exciting time and wonderful people here in the city of Atlanta.
And when did you first arrive in Atlanta?
It's about 2 years now. Can't believe it, but 2 years I've been here in Atlanta. It's gone really, really fast.
When you came, you began working for the city immediately. You were lured to work for the city in economic development.
That's exactly right. Well, I worked for Invest Atlanta, which at the time was the Atlanta Development Authority, and then which works very closely with the city. So we have a very close relationship with the city.
Why don't you give me a little bit more background on Invest Atlanta, kind of what is it and what do you do on a day-to-day basis? I know you have your own website and Facebook page,
right,
but I've looked through it. But share with the audience a little more about Invest Atlanta.
So Invest Atlanta is the economic development arm. So our main interest is what are we doing to, one, strengthen the economy, and, two, grow jobs. I think at the essence, those are the two measures that we look at most. How do you do that? There's several ways. You could look at either strengthening your current businesses, and we call that our business retention strategy. How do we keep our current businesses strong? Why is that important? It depends on what study you look at, but what we hear is anywhere between 70 and 80% of your job growth will come from your existing businesses. So hence our interest to make sure that our businesses have the opportunity to continue to grow and expand. The second way to actually grow and diversify your economy is to bring in companies. So this is our business attraction piece. And what type of companies are we doing? So we have specific programs and actually have someone on staff, a colleague that works with me. And really their focus is what type of companies can we attract to Atlanta? Now, this is a competitive sport. Every city, or I would say 80% of the cities in the nation, have an economic development arm. So you are competing aggressively for these businesses and for these companies to come here. And so we really want to make sure that Atlanta is represented and that we're being very aggressive whenever we hear there's an opportunity for a company to come in. So those are the ones. It's business. We can attract businesses here. We grow the companies here. And the last one, which I think is maybe an interest to those listening, which is our entrepreneurship. How are we growing companies? What are we doing to help promote the growth to not only continue on with the pipeline, which is important for us because that pipeline will lead to more jobs. SBA will talk about businesses' life cycle on average is at anywhere from 7 to 8 years. They're going to open and close their doors. So what are we doing to continue to grow businesses so they can continue to provide the services that others need around them? Two, you want to make sure to have a healthy economy, that you're diversified so that not all your eggs are in one basket. So when we have these economic downturns, that you can withstand them. And so really it's this opportunity we see through entrepreneurship is how are we doing it to make sure that we have all clusters represented in all industries. And the last is entrepreneurs, really, and entrepreneurship. If you look at innovation as far as jobs and the number of jobs it represents, if you look at all the jobs in the Atlanta region, it's about 6% innovation jobs. And that definition is provided by the Department of Commerce since we ran those numbers. But if you look at exactly what they are as far as total payroll, they represent about 10%, meaning that these are not only a big amount of jobs for us, but they're high paying jobs. And so how do we continue to cultivate these opportunities? So this is kind of just in a nutshell what we're doing at Invest Atlanta. And so our focus will be, we have several programs that we use, and we use different tools to be able to support our efforts.
Having been in the entrepreneurial community in Atlanta for the last 30 some odd years, I think this is the first time I've seen the city get this engaged. We've had the state has been involved. I remember one time back in the mid-'80s, we had the Georgia Small Business Association that was very, very active, kind of an offshoot of the Business Council of Georgia, mm-hmm. which is now the Chamber of Commerce of Georgia. And yet the city has always kind of more been interested in Coca-Cola and UPS and IBM, et cetera, et cetera. But this is a whole nother focus where you're really getting down in the nitty-gritty where the young companies are incubating at ATDC or at David Cummings Atlanta Tech Village or in Hyperpotamus. So this is a different area. And how did this come to be?
I think a little bit it comes from, well, I should say, I think it comes from two. One, you have a mayor that's very innovative and is looking for different ways to be able to address some of these issues. You have a council that's very receptive. And so with the mayor and the council pushing for that, that allows the opportunity for Invest Atlanta to have the leadership. We have a new CEO who's been here about also 2.5 years, a little longer than I have. And he really had the vision as well. We recognize that there needs to be, like I mentioned before, a pipeline. And how are you as a city creating or helping to support the creation of these new businesses? And so with that interest, we are really beginning to look at, okay, we have our same toolbox, but how do we kind of look outside the box? We maybe tweak it a little bit so that we begin to use some of our typical tools in ways that entrepreneurs can take advantage of them. And so I think this is really what's exciting for us, is that we have – our team is specifically focused on this. We have the support of the mayor's office and the council. And so the doors have been open. And so you'll see we are very much engaged. And I'm happy to kind of go through some of these as well.
Yeah, I want to. I've once heard that the definition of an entrepreneur is someone stupid enough to work 80 hours a week for themselves to keep from working 40 hours a week for somebody else. And as a result of that, having been one of those people for many, many, many years, we don't really know how to go find help because we're so busy in the weeds of keeping our business alive. So how does Invest Atlanta help startups or small businesses get to the next level, as the entrepreneurs are quite busy, as you well know?
Before I get to that question, that just sparks something. You know, I've often said that, I don't know if this term exists, but I would say I was a gov entrepreneur, trying to look at things differently, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes muddling through and figuring them out while we get there, right? We've all pivoted. Entrepreneurs pivot all the time. And I don't know why sometimes in government programs, if you pivot or you change or you tweak, it's sometimes seen as a failure. And one of the things that I've told the mayor and the council is, look, I may not get it right the first time, but that's okay. Let's continue on trying to figure out how we fix the program, create a pilot, fix the program, and move on to ultimately get at the end goal. It's pivoting, just like any entrepreneur in their business will do. And so I think that's just kind of changing that mindset. With that said, to your question, some of the things that we will do. So we have one of our typical programs is a small business lending program. We take on more risk than a bank would because we're not in it to replace a bank financing. But if you've been denied a bank loan, then you could come to Invest Atlanta as a secondary source. Now, oftentimes I talk to entrepreneurs and they always say, oh, Louisa, not interested. I need equity. You got to help me find equity. And I say, you know, everything has a cost. And so for those businesses who decide that equity is not the way for them, but that debt, then I think this is where they need to come to Invest Atlanta. There may be an opportunity for us. So we have our regular objective ways of looking at our applications, but we also have some subjectivity in them. And I think that's what's the difference between us and a government loan is we'll say, okay, I see your loan. There, we also see that there's been some issues with your credit. 3 years ago, what happened? Oh, well, either I had a divorce or there was a closing or there was some situation, some anomaly in the record. And we try to understand that and incorporate that. But that is really something that we've always done. So now, how do we expand that into entrepreneurs? So we're looking at creating this pilot program. We are still in trying to get approval from council, kind of getting all the lawyers on. But the idea is this. Many entrepreneurs are coming to me and saying, Alice, okay, I'll look at that. But I don't have any equity. I don't have, you know, I don't have collateral. And so the question is that's been one of the typical ways you get debt. You have some sort of collateral, either whether it's a refrigerator or a stove or whatever your product is that you're going to produce. So we're trying to figure out if there's some way we could use if you've had a venture capital or if you have an angel fund or if you have some sort of revenue source that we could maybe leverage maybe 1-4, then maybe there's some way we could craft it where we use that as some sort of collateral. And I'm not quite sure what the details will be, but again, it's using our typical tools in a little bit of different way so we could address the needs of entrepreneurs, because we're hearing what they are. And so this is exciting for us. We hope to have something at least by the end of the year on this pilot. It will be a small amount. It'll probably be about $50,000 that we'll put out there. So yeah, we won't be able to get to everyone. But I think what this will do is it sets a track record. Look, this is what we were able to do. This was the type of business it was. And this is what we found as our results. And then hence we could then take that experience, hoping that it's positive, and then go and ask for more money. So this is one of the things that we're trying to do to look at, is how do we begin to use, again, my typical tools in a little bit of a different light.
In the current small business lending, because this is something that's kind of piqued my interest, what are the ranges of the loans that you're currently making today or have the availability of making today for the right type opportunity?
Our average loan size is probably about $50,000 to $70,000, okay. I'd say the average, but we could go up to anywhere up to about $125,000 on our loans.
Kind of good startup, bootstrapping type situation, help them get off the ground.
Yeah, we were even trying to explore. We have a lot of great incubators, accelerators in town. Maybe there's some sort of way we could work on creating even a smaller fund where somehow we work with the incubator and then they identify giving some loans, either 10, 5, 10,000, real mini-sized loans to some of these businesses. Again, the challenge is this is still government money, so we have to be as responsible as we can and do our due diligence, and we understand that. But yet we want to create some sort of creativity and really help see the growth of some of these smaller businesses. So as we know that this could really start to increase the pipeline and really begin to grow a business. Some of these small ones, I think small businesses or startups, $25,000 can really move their objectives forward.
No question. I hope Stephen Fleming and folks at Georgia Tech and the ATD Center are listening, because I think Stephen is one of the brilliant folks in Atlanta, Georgia.
And, Stephen is great. I've called him often. Hey, Stephen, what do you think about this idea? And, you know, there's some he says, Elvis, that's a great one, or no. And that's okay. I'll figure it out, because not all are going to be great ideas. And I appreciate his honesty on those.
Yeah, he's one of the greats in Atlanta for sure. Kind of maybe go in a little more detail on why is Invest Atlanta so focused on entrepreneurs. We've kind of touched on the issues. It's the new business growth. It's the opportunities. But specifically from everything I've read on the website and Facebook and LinkedIn, y'all are really bored in on the entrepreneurs. Kind of maybe go in a little more detail on that for me.
Yeah. So really, if you look, all net new increase of jobs are coming from entrepreneurship or small businesses. So again, if you look back at what our main goal is, which was really job growth, we know that this sector is going to provide us with this job growth, hence why we're so focused. What we're trying to do, too, is create policy. So one of the things I think the niches where Invest Atlanta plays is we can plug in. If you look at the, you know, I created this chart, at least for me, I'm a real visual person, of where the financing comes from businesses. So I don't know if you've seen, you know, the Valley of Death, or, you know, from friends and family to angels, you know, first stage, second stage raising, venture capital, et cetera. You know, there are different pieces. So we at Invest Atlanta can play either at the beginning with maybe our small loan portfolio. We play at the end with more of the bigger packages we have available in our toolbox through our I don't want to do acronyms out here, but one of our tax allocation districts, which really can look at creating opportunities and have financing opportunities for businesses. But we're also trying to say, okay, we have financing, and financing is very important. I get it. But can we do something else? And this is kind of one of the areas that's drawn my interest, is what can you do with policy? How can policy play a role? Now, I'm not directly in the city, but obviously work closely with the city. And so one of the things we're doing is the city of San Jose has a program. And it's called, I don't remember the exact name, but what it does is it's a pilot program that tests products for entrepreneurs. And so it's not a purchasing. You don't sell your product necessarily to the city, but many entrepreneurs have tested a product or created a product and need a place to test it. Mm-hmm. They need that pioneer client, someone who's going to be able to say, yes, I tested this product and it works. And so the example that I called over to the city of San Jose and said, how is that working? And they just have talked about how much it's benefited them as a city and how much it's benefited their entrepreneurs. And the example they gave was that there was one entrepreneur who created this light pole. And in the light pole, you take down the lever and you pull out the electrical plug so you could plug in your car. But he, the entrepreneur, needed a place to test it, but needed it live, right? Needed to rain, it needed kids, it needed dogs, it needed to test it to see how it can improve the product. So in this particular case, it was a win for the city because they show themselves as being new and innovative, had new products. It was a win for the entrepreneur because now the entrepreneur could say, I've tested my product. It works. It's withstood all of the tests that could possibly be on the street. And they were able to use that as a reference, so to jumpstart into a better opportunity or to sell their product. So we've been talking about doing something like that here in Atlanta. What kind of opportunities? You know, and I've talked to Johnson at ATV, and I've talked to Stephen Fleming, and they've said, hey, Luisa, do we think this may, you know, it's not going to be for every entrepreneur, but that there may be some opportunities for us to be able to raise up our entrepreneurs and their ideas and whatever product they've been able to create and say that the city of Atlanta has actually tested it and they were the pioneer client and these were the results. So, again, how can we look at even policy serving as a way, creative ways to drive entrepreneurship and support this growth?
But you take that a step further, and the city gets the first opportunity to look at some innovative things.
That's correct.
That you can use within the city limits. Plus, you could become an investor at some point and receive a greater return back to the taxpayer. So that's a win-win in everybody's ball game.
Well, the investor one is probably a little bit of – I'd say some of my lawyers at the city may get worried on that one. But definitely, I think you're right. Shows the city being innovative. Taking the risk along with the entrepreneur in some sort of respect. Also providing the platform, right? That pioneer client means a lot to be able to then use that as a reference to go and sell your product. So it's, again, it's the city investing in the success of the entrepreneur. And then we both benefit because as that entrepreneur grows, then he's more likely to probably stay local, hire local, and grow his business. Because people, entrepreneurs say, you know, Luis, it's really great. We're glad that you're here. But why is the city? And I tell him, look, the selfish reason is as an entrepreneur grows, as an entrepreneur is successful, they hire employees, they probably will hire, you know, rent location. All of that is taxes that they pay into the system, which helps pay for our police and our fire and our parks. And so how do we continue to grow that at the end of the day, that is our interest. As you grow and you're successful, you grow, you contribute to the city, which then we provide more services back. So it's this cycle. And so how do we continue to grow and support the cycle? And I think it's a win for everyone.
Tremendous win-win for everybody. In the late 90s, early 2000s, I was a director at PricewaterhouseCoopers and helped run the Money Tree program where we do a study of all the venture capital that comes into the city. We never, when the numbers came in, we never got upset because we were behind Silicon Valley or RTP or Austin because they were always ahead. We were more interested in some, and Boston for that matter, but some of the other hotbeds of technology. David Cummings' goal is for Atlanta to be a top 10 technology city in the country in the next 10 years, and a lot of people believe very strongly for that. How do we change the focus and the mindset, and I guess there's some marketing, branding, and some other things that you can do to get the name Atlanta as a technology capital in the brains? And I think this month Sky Magazine did a great job with Kasim's story and many of the people we've mentioned. I was in Austin last week and read the article on the Delta flight out there.
I'm so glad you said that. We worked really hard on that piece.
You did a wonderful job. I wanted to pass it up and down the aisles and tell everybody, that's my hometown. That's my hometown.
Yeah, I'd encourage everyone to go look at that piece. It's a great piece. First off, I couldn't agree with you more. Truly my dream and what I would love to see is that if I'm an entrepreneur in California or anywhere else in the nation and I say, you know, I think I'm going to move my business. I don't know where. I think I'm going to go to X city or Y city. That on that list, it's Atlanta, that it just becomes a natural. I think we need to do a better job of marketing ourselves. We need to do a better job of telling our story. All of the guests that I've brought in to talk about entrepreneurship and to come and to visit don't necessarily realize about all of the ecosystem that's here and the infrastructure that's here. And so what that tells me is that there is an opportunity for us to work together, and hence why Startup Atlanta, which is a group that grew out of Events Atlanta, but great, it is now its own 501c3. We are but one member of a very stellar board. I'm very, very impressed about the members of our board and the work that they're doing to really say, one, how are we telling our story? Who's telling our story? And how well are we getting that out? Recognizing that each of our resource providers, so like the Hypes and the, you know, the Hubs and ATDC, they're focused on their what their objective is. That sometimes I think it's tough to also get the word out. And so how are we leveraging the messages? Could we use, you know, the mayor's pulpit to send out that information? We have a very exciting mayor who's got a national stage. People listen to what he has to say. So how can we use that to get the information out? I think as we're successful now, it's not an end-all, be-all. I do agree you mentioned venture capital, and that is something we need to address. But I do think that it's very key to our success in every way, right? In all types of innovation, because there is health information technology, there's medical technology, there's a wide spectrum of that. But what are we doing to tell that story? And I think that's what Startup Atlanta is really focused on. How are we getting the message out? And so one of the practical ways is really the executive director, Bess Wyan. If you haven't met her, she may be also a great person to talk to, is once we hear that our resource providers are telling that story, send us the press release. We send out the release, maybe add in a couple quotes from whoever that makes sense, and let's resend it out. And, you know, let's create it. Let's create a log of history, because that was the other thing. I invite everyone to Startup Stories next Wednesday, the 21st. And really the idea is, are we telling our story? Do we know all the exits and raises? Do we know who's been successful here? And I think it's just, I think everybody knows of a couple, and probably anecdotally, but really just one location where you could draw all that information at once. And I think once we do that, we'll really begin. But I believe with David Cummings, we can get there. And I think what's interesting is it's private, public, government, all of us are coming together within the ecosystem, even the press. So I'm so glad you asked us to come, because you're a critical component on telling that story, are coming together, and it's starting to change. I mean, what's nice is when I have colleagues from California calling me saying, what are you guys doing over there? And so it's really great, I think, to begin to see that it's starting to make a difference.
Well, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that we should be shouting it from the housetops. And I think of the philosopher Pogo from the Okefenokee Swamp, who once said, we have seen the enemy is us. And I think us have not done a good enough job of telling mm-hmm. the story. Another philosopher says, we're sitting on a ham sandwich starving to death. We've got everything we need, and we're not telling exactly. the story. I think the great story of Alan DeBerry and Manhattan Associates on Manhattan Beach, California, moves over a weekend to Atlanta, and what a great success story that's been. Mm-hmm. And there's anecdotally story after story after
that's
story,
right.
but we've got to catalog and put those stories
exactly
together
right.
so we can share it, because it's a motion picture. It's not a snippet.
Right. And then it's this, how do we create the elevator pitches, right? So that, because we all are ambassadors. You are a great example of an ambassador that goes out and talks about Atlanta. So what are you saying? What is your storyline? And how does that kind of fit into the greater picture that we want people to understand and to hear about Atlanta? And so I think those are some of the ideas. Again, it's working together, supporting the resource providers and the entrepreneurs so that they can continue to be successful. Because as we have more exits, I think that will really make the difference as more of our entrepreneurs are more successful.
We're launching a blog, I think next Monday, called Startup Stories.
Yes.
And from everything I've read about it, I can't wait till Monday. You're going to have some of the brightest minds in the city of Atlanta writing for you, and you will be interviewing live and having videos. And I just think it's so exciting. But tell me a little bit about what the blog's going to be about, and how are you going to run it, who's going to manage it, and how do people submit articles that might want to have a story to tell themselves?
Right. So again, back to this telling our story, which is a big thing that we are focused on, and working very closely, obviously, with Startup Atlanta on doing so, is the blog is going to focus some of our greats. So from Sig Mosley to John Yates is on there, and really, how do we begin to tell the story from the entrepreneur's opinion and their entrepreneur's set of view, so that it can then inspire other entrepreneurs. So you're going to see some of these really great entrepreneurs. And what we've also done too is put some of our unexpecteds as well, like who are the next up and coming, who's going to be that next entrepreneur as well. So you'll see some of those. And so we've been working very closely with David Cummings and with Johnson on identifying who some of those next entrepreneurs could be, and, you know, working with ATDC and Jen Bonnet and Thai Atlanta to really begin to what information, who's the who, who's the who of who in Atlanta for entrepreneurship. That's what we want this blog to be. And so on our panel next week, we're going to have Reggie Bradford, Sig Mosley, and Charles Brewer all talking about what is so exciting about Atlanta and why Atlanta is a place for entrepreneurs. And I think why they chose to be in Atlanta, take advantage of the quality of life that we have to offer, take advantage of the level of education that we have here and the networks to be able to start and grow their business.
For those that aren't that familiar with the Atlanta community or have not been here a long period of time, Google all those four names and you will spend the next 3 hours reading about power.
Mm-hmm.
John Yates, who you can go to Booth 61 with Ricky Steele, Google that and listen to the John Yates show that was maybe 2 months ago. I have heard people say it should be a class. Listening to that show should be a class at Georgia Tech or Georgia or at any college that is teaching entrepreneurship and startup community, because John has been around since 1980 and really has been involved in every step of the ecosystem. One of the panelists, Sig Mosley, in Atlanta, you don't need the Mosley part. Sig is one of the few people like Madonna and Elvis who only need one name.
That's right.
And everybody knows Sig. And Sig, with what he did with Mr. Imlay in the early days of MSA, becoming not only MSA, but then spinning out and helping create ISS and many, many other companies, many, many success stories. And, of course, Reggie Bradford is a triple or quadruple a successful entrepreneur from N2 Broadband to Tandem, one of the latest companies he sold to, and a great speaker. And then you've got kind of the godfather or the old hand, the creator of Mindspring, Charles Brewer, who at the ATDC was really the first company to come out of there and become an international success, eventually acquired by Earthlink, and the service went to heck in a handbasket. But I didn't say that. We're not on the air, are we, Kevin? No. Mindspring, many people still have Mindspring accounts and Ricky at Mindspring.com because they set a standard that has not been replicated since then.
Right.
So you've got a superstar panel next Wednesday, and I cannot wait till next Wednesday morning. And if someone wanted to register, how would they go about that? What is the website?
Yeah, they could go directly to Startup at Stories. They can also go through investatlanta.com. They can get an invitation there. We're working really closely with our PR agency, the Wilbert Group, who's really been instrumental in helping us launch that as well. So those are kind of the key. So go to investatlanta.com. I think you could Google Startup Stories as well, and you'll be able to find the invitation. It is a free event. But the location can only handle X amount of folks. So I would say get on there sooner rather than later.
This should be a standing room only. There should be 200 people with 50 of them standing in the room just to be able to hear a panel of this magnitude.
Well, and I have to say that this is some of the things that we're working on doing, because this has never happened. We've never gotten these three folks together in a room. I should say four with John in a room to talk about what is making Atlanta different and why Atlanta is really an opportunity for growth and to excel your business. And so we are really excited and we are committed to continue to do events like this. And we think the Startup Stories is the platform to highlight these type of entrepreneurs, set the example, and even motivate other entrepreneurs and give them some sort of thoughts and direction of what these entrepreneurs are thinking to really help them grow their business.
So really, who's invited to the event? Everybody?
Everyone is invited. It's open to anyone. Again, I would just urge you to RSVP very quickly because space is limited. And I think we're almost there. So I would encourage you to get on pretty quick.
Well, on the blog itself, you've mentioned having some high-profile entrepreneurs like David Cummings of Atlanta Tech Village and earlier on this show and others. What's the value of having these high-profile guys who've had successful exits being the face of Startup Stories? And, of course, that's pretty much a redundant question. You know, showing great success stories
right.
is going to emulate more success.
Right. And remember, winners want to be where winners are, right? And so I think this draws more people to Atlanta. And that's, if we go way back to your very first question, is why are we involved, is how do we help attract companies here? We want to grow what we have in Atlanta. We want to strengthen the job market and the opportunities for people to find job opportunities. And how do we do that? And one of the ways is making our businesses as strong as possible. And we really feel that Startup Stories can do that. It can inspire. It can show. It shows the level of success that you can get here in the city. And it really augments the amount of resources we have here. And I think that's what's so important. You know, Johnson shared with me over at ATV, shared with me a story that he had one entrepreneur from another city, I won't mention that city, went ahead and said, you know, I'm moving to Atlanta because of you. And I thought, that's exactly what we want to do. Those are the type of stories we want to hear. How do we continue to make sure that the success of ATV in this specific case continues to reverberate so that more entrepreneurs get attracted to Atlanta?
Well, David Cummings, of course, wrote a blog about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he said the reason that I'm in Atlanta is because of the infrastructure, and the second reason or main reason was Georgia Tech. You got such a vibrant Georgia Tech community and entrepreneurs coming out of it, and David's a Duke graduate, but he talked about Georgia Tech as if he was a Yellow Jacket himself.
Right.
And so the infrastructure that the city and everyone has been creating, I think is flourishing in such a way that – I mean, the greatest years are the next 4 or 5 years for us.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you say that. We see that when you look at the number one graduate school in engineers for minorities is really Atlanta. You'll see the number of engineers that are graduating are coming from our area. So what does that mean for those businesses that want to hire that are all looking for engineers? This becomes a prime opportunity for us. Second, research and development dollars continues to grow here in the city, not only driven by universities, but driven by the investment from local businesses. And two, the ability of our universities to attract federal grants, SBIR, STTR, continues to grow. And you see that amount continue to grow. Now, that's really important because they're continuing to generate ideas. They're continuing to take that and be able to be successful and create businesses. I think there's always room perhaps to better our commercialization process, but I think that this is something that's really impacting and it's becoming a magnet for others. So we have AT&T's new innovation center that just got open. You have Panasonic's innovation center. I mean, really it's the ability that of companies to come here, be successful at exploring innovative ideas and creating them and Atlanta being at the center, at the heart of this. I think that's what's continued to drive it. So you'll see a lot of businesses. Now, that's something when we go out and attract businesses, we tell them. We show them the statistics on number of engineers. We show them how many innovation centers we have here. We have a lot of innovation happening. And that becomes a tool because that's very expensive. And so we think that that's also another driver for people to be here in Atlanta. So I couldn't agree more with David.
What will the Startup Stories blog accomplish in the startup community, in addition to some of the things you've already mentioned, like bringing cohesiveness and that sort of thing? But what else is it going to accomplish for the people we're going to be addressing?
Well, I think it's also an opportunity to bring people together and open the conversation. One of the other things that we will be talking about, and we're going to also make an announcement at Startup Stories, so I'll just preview it. It's a very good announcement, so please come. But one of the other things that we're talking about is an innovation index that we're looking at creating here in Atlanta. It's a pilot one, but really, how do you begin the discussion around how do we continue to grow our opportunities? How do you continue to grow innovation? How do you continue to grow entrepreneurship and businesses and opportunities here? And so is it through better education? Is it STEM education? Is the focus venture capital? Is the focus number of patents? Where do we want to grow and how do we help the community? We got to start with the conversation. So it's kind of measuring, knowing where we're at, and then where we want to be. And I think that this will be a venue for us to do this is through Startup Stories. So it's an opportunity to gather people. You know, we talk about the different types of innovation, and, you know, one of them is the incremental, right? I come up with an idea, then you improve my idea and continue to grow it. And so this could be these opportunities for people to come together. And I've heard of, you know, Google does this. I know ATDC does it. I know ATV does it, where there are rooms, shared rooms. You go and eat lunch lunch all together in one room, or your water is not, you don't have a microwave, everyone has one. It's one in a shared common area. And they do that on purpose. Get people together to talk about ideas. It's that value, it's that interchange that's going to improve your idea. And so I think this also is a venue to do that. How are we talking about your ideas? Do you have someone like you that you could throw these off? And so, you know, with that, that brings to mind one of the other efforts, if you don't mind, that we've also done is for the first time, the city created the group called the Govathon. This is just a regular hackathon, but it's government looking at opportunities to find ways to make us much more efficient. So one of the apps, if I can't talk about it, is one of the apps that came out. So we did this about 6 months ago, the first one. I went and I talked to the police. I talked to parks. I talked to planning. I said, do you guys have anything that you could use more help with? And so parks came up to me and they said, you know, so we've been thinking, we have a directory and it has everything you want to know about your park in there. But we're not really quite sure that people are picking up these paper directories. This was like the yellow pages. And so they do have it online as well. But they said what we've noticed is people don't want to go to a park per se. They want to go play volleyball at 2. Or they want to have their party on Saturday that has a tennis court because they want to, you know, the parent wants to play tennis while their kids at the party. I don't know. But it's that kind of specificity that they want. So, and then they wanted to know how far away would that park be from there. So we put this out to the team at the Govathon. They actually created this app. And wow, now it's on the city's website. So I got to put a plug in to the city of parks and to the city of Atlanta because, and the team that worked on this as well. And it was great because it's a way to make us much more efficient. It took advantage and it really made all that information's out there. So if you still like the yellow pages, you can still have that. But if you want your app and say, I want X, Y, and Z and tell me how close can I go? Where's the closest park that can do that for me? You can do that on iparks.com. So anyways, I would also say that so now the city's starting to look at the Govathon. How do we better engage and take advantage of the expertise, knowing that we get something out of it, of course. But again, it's creating another venue for people to come together and share ideas. And I have to tell you one conversation I had there. So this is one programmer. I don't really understand all the backs of the programming, but was one programmer there. And I said, why do you come to these? And he says, well, I'm starting my business and I'm looking to hire someone. He says, I need a designer. And so the best way for me is not to go interview, but to go see their work. And so I thought, that's exactly right. The way things were aren't necessarily the way they're going to be in the future. How you hire people or the relationships you make, I think, in this new technology is different. And so it's really providing these venues and these opportunities for people to interact. Our goal is that maybe, I think in November, our plans is to have our next Govathon. We've asked a different other partners to join us, so kind of bringing in other government entities. So hopefully that will happen and you'll hear from me as well. But you should watch that. But we were really excited about that application.
Oh, that's unbelievable. That's very, very exciting. We've mentioned all the big names in the city or many of the big names in the city. And we were just thinking that, you know, if you're a little guy tinkering in your basement or your college dorm or, you know, you got an idea and you don't know how to get it to the next step, is Invest Atlanta and Startup Atlanta have anything to do with me? Is there anything that I can find out, or how can you help me if I'm, you know, not in the center of influence like some of these other guys?
Yeah, so I think that's somewhere I would recommend for all those folks to go to startupatlanta.com. If you go to startupatlanta.com, it literally is a map of the MSA or greater metro area. And what you see in that map, it's color-coded. So you could see all the incubators, all the accelerators in town, the funding in town, the, you know, anything that you may need. And so we really see that Startup Atlanta is going to be this concierge of services. So if you may call in and say, I'm interested in getting a list of all the accelerators in the city. Where can you give that to me? Of course, you could go on. You can either do it yourself online and get a list, or you'll be able to call them and Startup Atlanta will give you a list. We're obviously still a little short on staff, so I'd recommend going to the website. But, you know, some people have said, you know, I know all that information. I know I could get that. And I said, you know, I know you can because you're an entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs can figure everything out. That's why you are where you are. But if I can save you 3 hours or if I could just give it to you in a piece of paper, then I've saved you time for you to then spend more time in your business. And I think that is a value add. So how do I, you know, provide this type so it's easy accessible? So I really see or would hope that Startup Atlanta gets to that point where you will come in and out and use Startup Atlanta at different points of your business as your business grows. you need different things. So if I'm just starting up, I need a place to be. Where is a shared workspace in the city? You may look for something that's close to you, or you may want something in different parts of the city, or cost may be an issue. Whatever it may be, we'll be able to provide you the list and you can figure out what works best for you. Then you have that. And then you come back and you say, you know what, now I've grown. Now I need help with the business plan, or I need help identifying my client or my revenue stream, or who can give me training on X. So literally we'll say, here's a list of the city of people, resources that do that. You figure out which one is. So it really is this concierge service that we hope that really will drive in, because I feel that the sooner we can engage, or the sooner you can plug in, the sooner you feel the network of support around you, the more likely you are to be successful, one, and two, the more likely you are to stay here, because you're getting what you need. And so that's what I think the goal of Startup Atlanta is. So not only are we going to educate or tell the story, which is another one, we're going to advocate, but we're also going to be resources so that you can identify what it is you need and get it to you quicker.
I'm getting excited. That's no question. This is just exciting. And I know this is kind of just the beginning with the event next week and the launch of the startup blog, but what's your vision long term for Atlanta startup community, and what would you say real success looks like?
You know, I think for us, and this is one of the reasons why we talk about the Innovation Index, why, one, I think it's so important. We are going to be launching a pilot innovation index, because I think what everyone's term of success is a little slightly different. I think if we could get to a point where any business who has a very, or any entrepreneur has a very strong idea, is able to get capital is important. So that would be, so I'd say I don't have one vision, but a couple, with maybe a B and C. And one of them would be, okay, I have a great idea. I should be funded. I can find the funding and don't need to leave Atlanta, because that, you know, at certain points it does become an issue. So how do we provide an environment of that? How do we create an opportunity for growth in jobs so that those jobs are staying here? And so that really draws onto the bigger question of entrepreneurship, as to, yes, it's not only growing the business, but then as you grow, do you have the type of people that can help you get your business to the next level? So, yes, engineers are crucial, but also what type of management? Do you have the CEO and the CFO that you need to take your business to that next level? So capacity is a big one as well. And then infrastructure. We think that infrastructure in terms of, yes, transportation, can I get you somewhere? And we have the busiest airport on the planet, as the mayor likes to say. So I can get you anywhere in about 2 hours. But also infrastructure as far as wireless, internet, and capacity in broadband. Do we have that infrastructure? So I really envision and hope that someday I know we're going to get there at the cities, because we're committed to is seeing Atlanta being number one or when it comes to entrepreneurship. Why not? I think we can get there. We have the resources. We have the infrastructure. We have the commitment from all our partners, from the government. And I think that it really is, now we just got to focus and really look at where we're needing to grow. What indices are we lacking? Because there are opportunities for growth. And let's figure out how we fortify those so that we can strengthen them for our future.
What's the best way for our listening audience to learn more about Invest Atlanta?
To learn more about Invest Atlanta, go to investatlanta.com. That's probably the best place to start. To learn more about Startup Atlanta, it's startupatlanta.com. I think those are the key ones. And really it's the opportunity for us, and what we'd like to see, if you're interested in any of our programs, are being the Invest Atlanta programs. The best thing is to go to our website, because we have opportunities for businesses. We have, like I mentioned earlier, our small business loan program. We have some grants that sometimes we offer, through our tax allocation districts. And so I think we have creative tools that we use to support our businesses here in the city.
And what would be the best way to somebody contact you personally if they wanted to shoot an idea by you, or just get to know you, or you do LinkedIn and all the other social networks?
Yes, I'm on LinkedIn. Can I share just a funny story?
Shoot, yeah.
So when I first started with Twitter, I was so excited because I had opened my account on Twitter and I was tweeting away, and I told a friend, I think it was Jackie Chu. I said, "Hey, Jackie, I'm so excited," because, you know, Jackie's a pro on Twitter. I said, "I'm tweeting." And she said, "Well, I'm not getting any of your tweets." And so I asked her to look at my phone. I was tweeting myself. But I have to tell everyone, I am now better. Jackie showed me and she sent me up, so I'm now tweeting. But anyways, yes, LinkedIn, Twitter, I'm set now. I'm ready to go. Or you can also send me an email at, okay, here it is, eklementich@investatlanta.com. And it's eklementich. Don't blame me. It was my father's last name, @investatlanta.com.
This has been a fantastic show, and I cannot thank you enough for being here. And again, as a native Atlantan, you're making my heart go pitter-patter. And as a 35, 40-year-long entrepreneur, you're making my heart go pitter-patter. So I'm very excited about what the future looks. I hope I live a lot, you know, a lot longer so I can watch Atlanta continue to grow and thrive, because it is a great city, and the people is what makes this city great. It's I think Dr. King, being from Atlanta, is just and starting all of his work here is so important to our culture and who we are as a people, and how we create community. And that's what you're really talking about, is creating right. a community where we can help more people be successful and love one another.
And I like to say that I think Dr. King was an innovator, an entrepreneur himself.
No question.
Because he created new ideas and new thoughts. So this is really innovation, entrepreneurship. It's in Atlanta's blood. And I just believe that with the bottom of my heart.
Well, it's been a great pleasure having you here, and I hope maybe we can have you here and again in the next couple of months to talk about some of the new things that Invest Atlanta is
all about.
I would
love to, and I'd love to be able to say that I have some new policies passed in council on how people could apply.
Well, that's great, and City Council, I hope you're listening, because we need all the help we can get. This is Ricky Steele, and I've finished my cup of coffee in Booth 61. I hope you'll come back and join me for a fresh cup next Wednesday, or by listening to past shows anytime at Booth 61 with Ricky Steele. I always close our time together by sharing a blessing, hopefully for you, your family, and perhaps your business. That blessing comes from the book of Numbers. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for dropping by, and join me next week for a fresh cup in Booth 61.